Let's get to Walter Todd. He is our guest for the half hour. Walter is the president, also chief investment officer and managing director at Greenwood Capital. Walter, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. Obviously, for markets, the Fed is a big pressure point. With the very hot jobs report that we had in the U.S. on Friday, do we have to rethink this idea that the Fed is going to scale back the magnitude of the December hike to 50 basis points?
I don't think so. I think Powell was pretty clear during his talk last week that he's seeing two sides of the risk equation. I know a lot of people said he didn't say anything he hadn't already said, and I disagree with that. I think it's a pretty notable shift in the balance of risk to being two-sided versus one-sided. So I think he was pretty adamant that they're going to have to slow down the pace of hiking. I don't think the jobs number changes that. And in fact, if you kind of dig into that jobs number, look at the household survey, it's actually quite a bit weaker. So I don't know that it was as strong as maybe the headline indicated.
Walter, yeah, but it was on the face of it a bit out of left field here. It was almost as though when Jay Powell was making that speech that it was he'd assumed it was going to be much lower than it was what it was going to be. How surprised were you by the headline?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the headline continues to surprise on the upside for sure. And I got to believe though that Powell, I'm not saying he had an inside look at the number ahead of time, but I have to believe he had a pretty good idea of what that was going to show. So I don't think anything he said was changed by that number. However, we do get a CPI number before the Fed makes their announcement on the 14th. We get the CPI on the 13th. So that could potentially maybe more of a difference changer, perhaps, if it came out really hot and didn't continue to cool as we've seen over the past several readings.
Okay, for the sake of argument then, let's say, Walter, that the Fed does scale back the magnitude and we see a 50 basis point hike later this month. Is there the risk, though, that the terminal rate, which is to say the destination point for Fed funds, now is above 5%? Market right now is looking a figure sub 5. Do we have to rethink that?
Yeah, I think, whether it's 5, 5.25, 5.5, I don't know if it's that 25 to 50 basis points makes that much difference in terms of the terminal rate that we reach. I think the market right now is focused on the slowdown of going from 75 to 50 and then ultimately probably 25. You got some people saying that this December hike might be the last one that they do, because what we have on the other side of the equation is a lot of economic data that's coming in, despite the jobs report, a lot of other economic data that's coming in fairly weak. You look at these regional Fed surveys, the new order components of those. You look at the ISM surveys. You look at the housing data. That's all coming in weaker. So I think, whether it's the right numbers, 475, 5, or 5.25, I'm not sure it makes that much difference.
Todd, we see the reopening of China taking place. Officially strict lockdown is there, but we're seeing a real pushback here. How much does this encourage you to perhaps see China as being more investable now?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, China's been tough this year. It's kind of whipsawed a lot of people, ourselves included, honestly. And so I think, in my opinion, the way to maybe play this reopening would be through some indirect avenues like materials, energy that would obviously benefit. Copper would rise on this. Oil would rise on this. I think, with the KWEB, for example, the Chinese Internet ETF up 21% quarter to date, I don't know that chasing, those direct investments in China right now makes a ton of sense. That's still down 25% on a one-year trailing basis. So our view would be to kind of play this reopening in some other avenues besides going directly into China.
So if you're a U.S. corporate that does business on the mainland, you've set up some type of production, maybe are exposed on the supply chain side. The way that Beijing has handled COVID, do you really have to rethink your strategy now and maybe move some production, some capacity outside of China?
Absolutely. I believe so. I know you started the top of the hour off with the Apple news about them trying to diversify their supply chain. I mean, they're heavily exposed to China, but a number of other companies are as well. And I think this is a, kind of a phenomenon we've seen really play out over the last couple of years as a result of COVID and now some of the other dynamics at play here in terms of making sure you have a supply chain you can count on. You don't really necessarily care about having the lowest cost supply chain, You want a reliable supply chain. And I think we're going to continue to see that dynamic play out in years to come. You know, Taiwan Semi talking about building some high production or high, you know, tech chips in the U.S., for example, at the request of some companies that want some different production areas.
If we have a look at, you know, valuations, I mean, Hong Kong is astonishingly cheap at trading just under 7 times earnings. You look at the CSI in China, that's 14 times. It's a bit richer, certainly. But you look at the Hang Seng, and you've got to ask yourself now, is there a China discount being baked into this? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the valuation argument has been there for a while in terms of just ex-U.S. in general and certainly Asia specifically, as you're talking about. So to this point, it's been, you know, pretty terrible timing tool. But perhaps the, you know, everything's kind of coming together. If we see a weaker dollar next year, if we see the U.S. economy slow down, the Fed slows down, that sets up the backdrop for ex-U.S. assets to outperform. And, you know, talking about the valuation being so cheap in Hong Kong, that would be another impetus for that area to potentially outperform the U.S.
One of our recent MLive Bloomberg surveys suggested that the greatest risk in the new year is stagflation. Walter, I'm curious to get your take on what you think the greatest risk may be for 2023. Is stagflation at the top?
I wouldn't put that at the top. Honestly, for us, I think it's really just a concern around what's the level of growth going to be or not be in the case of the U.S. I mean, the severe inversion of the yield curve across the yield curve, really from 1 month out, is really concerning to us as we look out at the past history of the prediction of those inversions and what happens, you know, within 12 to 18 months in terms of a recession. So that's the biggest head scratcher for us right now in terms of looking at 2023 versus what the market's doing right now, which is being very economically sensitive with the sectors that are leading the market. And that would be our biggest concern.
Now, tell me something also, Todd. I mean, you look at investment grade, you look at high yield, there must be some screaming bargains out there offering a really, really decent and juicy yield. Are you looking and fishing in that space?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the best opportunities in fixed income investing in 15 years. And just aside from the high yield, we tend to focus on investment grade. But just looking at 2 to 3 year investment grade returns, you're looking at 5%+ on a 2 to 3 year piece of paper buying an investment grade balance sheet. You know, we haven't seen that again since, you know, 2008, 2009 timeframe. So we do think it's a good opportunity to invest in fixed income.
Walter, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Walter Todd there, President and Chief Investment Officer, as well as MD at Greenwood Capital. This is Bloomberg.